carpal tunnel, so, you know, another. Began discussing this morning on how can we know that God is good. That seems to be a question that is an honest and fair question. What if that this morning we notice that in the scripture there is evidence that God presents of his existence, but there is just as much evidence outside of the scripture that gives us overwhelming evidence that God exists because of the things that we can see and the things that we can know. We finished off this morning looking at the universe and its intelligent design. You see, when things have order and there's not chaos, then that means that there's design, there's intelligence. If you have a design, there has to be intelligence behind it. And in our universe, it functions in a very orderly and systematic and productive way. And we read, last passage we read this morning was from Genesis 8, 22, and we talked about the cycles and seasons that nature sustains life. You have the spring, you have the summer, the fall, the winter, and all of it is a very orderly transition from one season to another. Now, sometimes the seasons don't last as long as we'd like them to, and sometimes they last too long, but there are different seasons, and each of them have their place. Each of them do certain things in their seasons, and God made that to last as long as time on earth has lasted. And so those things are, those systematic functions demonstrate design, demonstrate intelligence. And so that's one of the ways that we can know that the earth has intelligent design. We also know the earth has intelligent design because nature functions in a sequence to sustain life. How do I know that? Look at Psalms chapter 147 in verse 4 through 9. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who comes. Why don't we move closer? Why don't we go farther away? Why doesn't that happen? Why does it stand exactly like it is? Why? Who did that? Somebody did. It didn't just happen. The moon is the right distance from the Earth. The overall orbit, 221,463 miles, 356,334 kilometers, to 251,968 miles to sustain life. What did God make the moon to do? He didn't make it to put Swiss cheese on it, like some people think. Why did he create the moon? It was a light. For what? For night. The sun was a light for day. Why does it work that way? Why do we get the sun in the day to give us light, and we have the moon at night to give us light at night? Vacuum pump in, because everything here is suited to sustain a lot. But not in any other country. Why is that just happened? Now another thing that just happened by chance? You think so. The Earth's crust is at the right thickness, 6 miles, 9.6 kilometers oceanic, 35 miles, 56 kilometers continental, to sustain life. Why doesn't the ocean ever overflow? Look at all the rain that comes into the ocean. Why doesn't it ever overflow? Why doesn't it just cover the earth? We have floods. We don't have worldwide floods. We have times the rivers get overflooded. We have times dams break. But it never covers the whole earth. Why? Why doesn't that happen? Because God promised it wouldn't happen. God promised back in Genesis chapter 9 that it would never happen again. That's the reason it doesn't happen. Again, how do you explain all those things? How do you explain the thickness and how the water comes in and it goes out, it flows freely in and out, and it flows in a way that it doesn't destroy it? Why does it do that? Why does it do that? Intelligent design. The oceans are at the right depth, an average of 2.6 miles. You know, it amazes me. Can you imagine the ocean in spots is over almost 3 miles deep? Think about that. 3 miles deep. Why is it that way? That's in the deepest spot. And it sustains life. Do you know there's animals? Sea animals that live at Dell's depth and they don't have any problem. 3 miles underneath the ocean and they can live and function and move? How? Who made them be able to live in that atmosphere? Who made them be able to survive in that atmosphere? God. God. Animals. They have instincts to sustain life. Young herons and doves have a red spot on the parent's beak to be fed. When they're hungry, a herring has a red beak, has a red spot on the beak of the herring. I didn't know this, I had to look it up. But when he taps that, that tells the mother that he's hungry. How does the young herring know to do that? How does he know to do that? He does that by instinct. Where did he get it? Where did he get it? Think about animals and how they take care of their young. Penguins. Mothers, you think that you carry a baby for a long time? Look up and see how long an elephant carries a baby. You don't want to know. And you know a penguin, and it has a little penguin, its egg is underneath, and she hovers over that egg in sub-zero weather. And she stands there until that egg is hatched. Why doesn't she freeze to death? Why doesn't the baby freeze to death? You and I would freeze to death. Why doesn't the penguin? Because its body's made, designed to maintain and sustain that type of environment. You and I couldn't withstand that kind of environment without protective clothing for the penguin. Why is it that way? Why is it that way for a penguin, and why is it different for the hen? And why is it different for a deer or a rabbit or a squirrel? And how they instinctively take care of the young? How do they know how to do that? Why do they have such natural instincts? Who gave it to them? Oh, it just happened. No, I don't think so. Now let's look at something else. About man's capacity to worship God. You know, man's a worshipful being. He's the only thing of God's creation that's worshipped. That's a worshipful being. Now, the ontological argument, man's capacity to worship God is evidence that God exists. If we are a worshipful being, then we were created to worship something. That's an ontological argument. Ontological is a Greek word that means being, existence, what exists. Something existed, so something takes place. The fact that we are a worshipful being means that we were designed to worship. Who designed us to worship? Why do we have that quality within us? Where did we get it? Who gave it to us? Who made it so? Evidence of God's existence, man's unique capacity to seek, to love, and to worship God. Do animals love God? He gave them life. Do they love Him? No. Animals don't have the capacity to love. Now, they have the capacity, they have the instinct to protect their young. You don't want to get between a mama bear and her cub. You don't ever want to do that. That's a bad thing to do because instinctively she's going to protect that cub. No matter what you try to do, she's going to try to protect that cub. That means even if she has to kill you. That's a natural instinct. But you see, we are the only thing that was created that has the capacity to seek, to love, and to worship something. We are the only part of God's creation that can do that. The existence of some things is evidence of corresponding things. We call this counterparts. In Genesis chapter 1, the existence of males implies females. Naturally, why? Are you going to reproduce life? Remember that thing we read this morning? Each thing reproduces what? After its kind. If there's a male, there has to be a female in order to produce after their own kind. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and and that's how God planned to replenish the earth. He told him to go out there and multiply. But in order to do that, it took a man and a woman in order for that to be done. Who made that man? Why is it that? What the body was created to do. Now, can man go contrary to God's purpose? Sure he can. Sure he can. We have evidence of that every day. There's evidence every day that men go against the purpose that God designed something for. That doesn't mean the design's bad, does it? Doesn't mean the institution bad, does it? It just means that man didn't follow the rules. He didn't follow what God told him to do in order for it to go well for him. You see, God had a reason to create us. There was a purpose behind why he created us. And when we read the Bible, we find out what that purpose is. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, God gave man an innate capacity to contemplate and seek eternity. Why? Because that's where God's at. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has put eternity in the heart, except that no man can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. Can we contemplate and understand eternity? We talk about it. We pray about it. But do we truly comprehend what it means? No, we surely don't. We don't know the end from the beginning. You know what that simply means? I don't understand all the things that God did, how he does them, why he does them, and in the capacity that he did them in. But do I need to? No. All I need to do is trust him. I just need to trust him. The atheists believe that all there is in this life is here. And when you're dead, you're like Rover, you're dead all over. But the But the person who understands there's a God understands that life doesn't end at death. There's something that comes later. And you know, that's the unknown to man. That's something we've never experienced. You know what? You can go into these bookstores and you can read about all these after death experiences, and what you'll find when you begin to read these stories, all of them are different. All of them are different. Some people saw a light. Some people saw their grandparents. Some people saw a son or a daughter. Some people saw their parents waiting in open arms. I mean, they got all kinds of things they've seen. But let me tell you, you're going to experience this firsthand. And when you experience it, you're not going to come back and tell us what it was like. How many people have been resurrected in the Bible? Many. The widow's son, Lazarus, the man that fell out of the window when he fell asleep at the preaching of Paul in Acts chapter 20, Tabitha, Dorcas. What do they all have in common? They all died again. They have something else in common too. In the scripture, what does it tell us happened while they were dead? Not a word. Not one word in scripture. You know, let me ask you a question. If you'd have been alive when Lazarus was raised from the dead, and you knew Lazarus, and you knew Mary and Martha, would you go talk to Lazarus? And if you would, what would you ask him? You know what I'd ask him? What was it like? What did you experience after you died? But you know, the Bible never answers that question. Why? Because that's something God's going to let us find out for ourselves. He's given us some information about it, but he hasn't gone in any detail, has he? You see, that's eternity. That's what comes later. Man's uniquely religious nature, seeking God, good and right, corresponds to the existence of God. This corresponds to that. Male and female, the belly and food, our body and God's purpose. We seek eternity because that's what God is. What gives us the capacity to do all that? Why are we designed that way? Why do we act in such a way? Because somebody made us that way. Who made us that way? Did that just happen by chance? Did that just happen by circumstance? Why is the animal not like that? Why is the animals not like that? Why just us? Somebody made a distinction between how the animals are and how we are. Who made that distinction? Somebody did. Somebody did. Our capacity for God, our capacity to be worshipful, screams that there is a God. Why, we would have a desire that we would have no way to fulfill. If we're a worshipful being, if there was no God, how would we ever feel that desire to worship if there was not a God? How would we do that? Why men deny God? Even with all the evidence, inside the Bible, outside the Bible, why do the majority of men deny the existence of God? Well, historically, men knew God but rejected him. In Romans chapter 1, listen to what Paul wrote. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And you know what? That's exactly the same way that it is today. Men know that there's a supreme being. Men know that it didn't. If when they're honest, and when you get them and you pin them down, they know this just couldn't have all happened by itself. They know it didn't happen by circumstance and natural cause, and it didn't happen by chance, and it wasn't a coincidence. Down deep, they know that there's a God. Down deep, they know that there's a supreme being. They know that. But they don't want to claim that, because if they accept there's a God, there's some other things they're going to have to accept. Number one, God, and we are And when they die, I've told you this many, many times, when a person leaves this life, when they're in the hospital, when they're in a car wreck, whether they're in an airplane, whether they die of a heart attack, it doesn't matter how they die, it doesn't matter where they die, whenever we leave this world, in whatever way we leave, when we close our eyes, we draw our last breath, and when our life comes to end on this earth, there is no longer going to be a mystery about whether or not God is here, or whether or not the Bible is right, or whether or not the Bible is true. But all of it then becomes reality. And here's the problem. What if you didn't prepare for that reality? What's going to happen then? You know what that is? That's too big a risk. Because I'm going to be a lot longer where I'm going than how I, whatever time I spend here. How many of us have loved ones who have been gone for a long, long time? Maybe as long, longer than how long they lived. Now, we're going to be somewhere for a long, long time. Is it worth the risk to believe all this just happened? Life is just chance. Life is just a coincidence. There's no intelligent design. There's no creator. There's no accountability. There is no God. We just have life because we're lucky and because all the cosmos lined up in the right way. Had the Big Bang Theory and bam, here we are. We crawled out of the enema. We grew arms and legs, we grew feet, we grew a brain, we grew a central nervous system, and here we are. And people say, and I've had people who are atheists that tell me that I believe in fairy tales. I don't believe in fairy tales. I don't believe it just happened. I don't believe it just is a coincidence. I don't believe that it was natural cause. And I don't believe we've evolved to where we're at today. I think we got here because God designed it that way. And I don't want to take the risk to be wrong and face God when I die. Whoops. There is a God. It will be too late then. The universe gives evidence that there is a God. You can accept it, you can reject it, you can scoff at it, you can make fun of it, you can do whatever you want with it. But the evidence is overwhelming that somebody put this world together, and the things that we see in our lives are there, they have order, they have intelligence, they have design, and somebody put it all together. Somebody that was a lot smarter than us. And that somebody was God. The summary of the evidence for God, cause and effect. Every cause has an effect. The cause and effect is the creator and the creation that he made. Intelligent design says that somebody put it together and organized it. Man's capacity to worship God means that God exists. And last, why men deny God. Now, you know what? It's up to man. But you know, it is illogical and it's beyond ignorance to just believe it just happened. That life just happened by coincidence. I don't have enough faith to believe that. I don't have enough faith to believe that it just happened over millions and millions of years. And here we are. You know what that would mean, ladies and gentlemen? That would mean that we don't really have any answers. We don't have any understanding of why we're here. We don't have any real purpose in being here. We don't have anything to really look forward to. We have nothing. You take God out and we have no meaning of life whatsoever. How can that be better? How can that be better? I want to suggest to you today, the reason I know God exists is because I exist. I know I just didn't happen to be here. I know I just didn't come here by chance. And I know that all the beauty that I see all around me, and all the intelligent design that I can see with my naked eye, and all the order amid the chaos, and all the order of life, and all the things we looked at about the earth, and about reproduction, about animals, about the cosmos, all of that didn't just happen. Somebody had their hand painting this masterpiece.